Hello and welcome. I'm Jane Oates, the president of Working Nation, but also so proud to be one of the chairs of the DC region for IdeaGen. And today I am particularly excited to invite you to join in a conversation with Walter Simmons. Walter is the president and CEO of Employ PG, and I'm going to ask him to tell you a little bit more about his journey and certainly a little bit more about Employ Prince George's County.
Thanks, Jane, and thank you for the invitation. On behalf of Employ Prince George's, it's an honor to join you in IdeaGen. Employ Prince George's is a 501c3 nonprofit that I founded in 2018. After about a decade in workforce development, I started my career in South Carolina working in American job centers and one stops under the American Recovery Reinvestment Act of the Obama administration. Went on to go to the White House Summit on Work and Families, which really changed my life because it allowed me to see all of the different workforce development entities and people that provided workforce development related services that might not have been included in the traditional public workforce system. So I left there empowered, invigorated, and just moved to Washington, D.C., where I became a WIOA and Wagner Prize operations manager when WIOA started in the District of Columbia. And then in 2016, became a local workforce development director, probably one of the youngest in the country at 28. But it was the perfect time because WIOA was new. I was new to the role, and it really laid a foundation to build a workforce system that could meet the true needs of businesses and job seekers. And in 2018, that turned into founding Employ Prince George's. And today we are a 80-plus person nonprofit that serves multiple roles in the public workforce system and manages the Prince George County workforce system that serves about 30,000 businesses and job seekers per year.
Wow. And, you know, I should tell the people that are watching, Walter, that I've been privileged and honored to know you since the beginning of your career. And you have just, in every job you've had, made such a difference. You're such a natural leader, such a talent. So thank you, before I forget to say that, for all that you've done and all that you continue to do. Now I want you to educate the viewers a little bit on Prince George County, Maryland, if you would.
Sure. Prince George's County, we border DC on three sides. We're 500 square miles with probably close to 950,000 people, about 1 million people in 500 square miles on the suburbs, forming the suburbs of DC. But we also border Northern Virginia. We're home to National Harbor, a prominent vacation tourist destination. MLB winter meeting, CPAC has been held there. It's also home to MGM for those that want to try their luck. Jane, you know, anytime you want to come on over. But also the University of Maryland and FedEx Field, home to the Washington football team. So this is a very unique area with a large population of government officials, elected officials, government federal workers, employees, contractors, that make a really diverse economy and diverse population, also known as one of the most wealthy majority African-American county in the United States.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned some of your big employers. You have really been challenged with some of them getting them talent. You mentioned some government contractors and the MGM casino, but talk a little bit about how you've been working, first of all, with those large employers. I'm going to dig in a little deeper on other employers, but first let's talk about those large employers.
Well, Jane, you know, we experienced a crazy time because of COVID, right? Mm-hmm. On March 16th, or prior to March 16th, 2020, in December, our unemployment dropped down to 3.2%. We probably hovered normally around 3.5%. So basically no unemployment by definition being less than 4%. March 16th, we shut down. By August, we saw our unemployment rate at 10.9%. Wow. We were shut down due to closures from March 16th, 2020 through July 6th. So what we've been doing recently, well, last year, our workforce system had to change. When your largest employers like MGM and Marriott, Gaylord shut down, We had to help with layoffs. We had to help them lay their staff off, identify resources, file for unemployment, and provide a safety net for our community, but did it in tandem with our employers so that their employees knew that though their employer was laying them off, they cared. That really relationship building led to us as we reopened for all those employees to come back and say, Walter, we need your help. We know that we're experiencing, you know, kind of the great resignation that I kind of call the great awakening. So recruitment's been a little more difficult. There's been a lot of non-traditional hiring and onboarding. We're doing virtual job fairs. So we've really been working with our large employers to get their name within, you know, get that huge name, but ensure that name is infiltrating the every crack of the local community that it normally might not penetrate because of how our market and how our world has changed during COVID-19.
And then, you know, obviously, as you say, hotels and all the transportation and leisure, all that has been very slow in coming back and uncertain, you know, but you have a lot of small employers who, and there has their experience been the same or different?
Our small employers have really struggled, right? As we changed, as the world changed and the market changed. So I said great awakening, not great resignation. Because I think what COVID taught us is that some people, many people, really are trying to approach work differently, focusing on work-life balance, thinking about when they go to work, what might they bring home? Could they bring COVID home? And we had, you know, up until recently, we didn't have vaccinations for children. You know, we have a lot of multi-generational households. We also have a lot of people who are learning, do I really like this virtual work? And so we're a big business. Can easily, well, not easily, but they can quickly, in a business sense, have the capacity to convert to hybrid, to convert to remote work, to utilize new recruitment methods from various online and social media tools that small businesses don't have the funds, don't have the capacity to do. So what we've been doing, and really one of the roles of the public workforce system, as you know, Jane, is building their capacity through the services that we provide that they've already paid for through their tax dollars. That's so right. We are doing virtual job fairs. We're doing helping with assisting with virtual onboarding. We are also helping them understand the new regulations that sometimes come, you know, maybe biweekly and change biweekly, right? So we're helping to build the capacity of small businesses through the public workforce system to allow them to recruit and retain the talent that they need to recover from the COVID-19 pandemic.
Well, you know, Walter, it's so important. You and I have talked from the beginning of our careers, even though the length is different, about the need for these public systems to work with dual customers, the job seeker and the employer. And it sounds like your work has really been doubling down on that employer. And thank God for that, right? I mean, we need to keep these employers going. Let me ask you a little bit. You mentioned, and it's such a good topic, and Prince George's County is such a, you know, a hotbed of this, of special populations. You know, I love that you call the time we're going through the Great Awakening. I totally agree with you. I don't think people are resigning for no reason. But let's talk a little bit about these special populations, like women who had to stay home with their children, like people who might have a blip in their record, you know, maybe returning citizens from doing their time in prison, maybe opportunity youth. Can you talk? I gave you a lot there, but I know you're working in all of those spaces. So tell me a little bit about how maybe employers are looking differently at diverse talent pools, not just gender and race, but also life experiences.
Well, Jane, let me start by this. Our conversations over the years have been fruitful. I just don't know how fruitful they've been for you, because I'm normally more picking your brain and listening to what you're saying than me providing input. So I just want to clarify that for everybody. Two, you know, when we talk about a workforce development system, public workforce system, let's really talk about everybody, when you start a business, you have a business plan. When you're managing your personal finances, you have a personal financial plan. You have a retirement plan. What we've done in Prince George's County is create a business process for our workforce system. And we've done that by identifying three key roles in the system. The customer, which is the business, the product, which is the job seeker or resident, and then the manufacturer, which are the people who produce that product. And we've identified a raw product, which is a job seeker that isn't ready to go to work or isn't ready to complete an educational program. And then a finished product, someone that is ready to start or finish an educational program is ready to go to interview and start a job. So when you look at that product, again, you're talking about we might have what we call Encore experienced workers. That's one of our programs that are 55 and older. We also have the opposite. We have our youth. So we have a program for juniors and seniors who are not on track for college or the military called Youth Career Connections. And so what we try to do is identify what are as we look at the structure of the customers, the business, they're going to hire them. The product is the job seeker, and the manufacturer could be K-12, our public education institutions, our American Job Centers, our community development block grant. You know, it could be anyone, our wheel Title I providers. So what we try to do is to facilitate an ecosystem where these manufacturers know the need of their customer, the business, and knowing that need allows them to manufacture a product, which is our resident or job seeker, to meet that need. And when they work with specific demographics, they know that they have to change their manufacturing style. So if it's a returning citizen, an ex-offender, they know they need to focus on mental health, substance abuse, criminogenic assessments to say, you know, what are the behaviors that let you be incarcerated? How do we mitigate those? How do we deinstitutionalize you to prepare you for the civilian world? Same thing with our veterans. How do we translate your military service record into a civilian resume and the skill sets and certifications of a civilian? So we look at all these different populations, and in Prince George's County, we've made it a priority to even include refugees and immigrants. So we have a program called Career Pathways for All, which focuses on immigrants, refugees, asylees, and English language learners. And so we identify these populations. We have five demographic-specific adult programs and two demographic-specific youth programs. And those programs provide specific services for the demographic or priority population they're serving, with the ending goal of molding each job seeker to have the skill sets, qualifications, and credentials that the customer, the business, wants and needs for their business to be successful. And that's what we're targeting. And I will say lastly, Jane, we've really learned from working with people across the country. You know, as you know, I travel across the country. The last 3 months of 2021, I probably was somewhere every other week, from Florida to Iowa to California to Chicago. And what we've done at Employer Prince George's is say, hey, people saying, hey, can you show us how to do it? So we started the Center for Workforce Excellence International, where we are taking our nationally recognized subject matter experts and current practitioners, and they are going into communities and working with local governments and local workforce boards to teach them about how to create their own business process, to teach them to identify their own workforce development stakeholders, and to teach them how to build their local community network. And the members of that network will help them create their business model, identify their priority populations, identify the needs of their customers, the business, and to create workforce systems across this country that produce skilled and qualified residents and connect those residents to businesses in need, with the ending goal to grow local economies across this country so that everybody can have their piece of what we call the American pie. So that's what we've been focused on and have really been successful in. And that's what America needs right now. We need every single resident to be able to access and have equitable access to the skills, services, and jobs for them to be successful. Our youth depend on it, Jane. I know you know that.
Absolutely. And you know what, Walter, if we really are all committed to a complete economic recovery that's inclusive, we've got to get that information out to everywhere. I'd love you to tell a story or two about where you've been, because I know you've been to some places that don't have the richness of diversity that PG County has.
You're right. And so let's talk about it. Let's talk about the 21st century workforce, which is what we need. The first thing we've done, I'll say locally, we started something that hasn't really been seen before. We changed our public workforce system into a membership network called the Prince George's County American Job Center Community Network. And people can find out more by visiting www.pgcajc.com. And really what we did is identify every entity that should be involved in our workforce system and allowed them to join in various capacities. And we now have a workforce system of over 80 partners. So let's transition to another major area like Chicago. We left Chicago, Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership, and they are also creating a 21st century workforce development system in Chicago. And I left their Chatham Education and Workforce System, where Jane, they put a maker space inside of their job center, where they're focusing on urban manufacturers and these micro manufacturers who make quilts, make products, make tools in an area where, in some of these really impoverished areas where they don't have the jobs. And they allow these unemployed job seekers to utilize and develop their skill sets to become entrepreneurs in what we call urban micro manufacturers. I also was in the Mississippi Valley in Iowa with the director Miranda Swafford, where they're a rural area and where their job centers are an hour and a half apart. And they're focusing on regionalism, but also identifying what are the specific profiles of the various local communities in our region or in our local area, because their local area, again, their local, in between their job centers, it could take 1.5 to 2 hours to go from job center to job center. And they can't just have a universal strategy. They have to look at each individual community and basically build out these micro workforce systems with priority populations and specific in-demand industries to meet that need, and then bring all of those micro workforce systems together to create a unified workforce system. And that's very unique in what a lot of people in the rural areas are working with. I'm also have been in contacts with the Southern Nevada Workforce Board, where they're utilizing different business engagement, where they're working with chambers and trade associations to engage businesses, identify those needs of businesses, and taking public government funds to provide grants to businesses to help those businesses rehire their employees they're laid off while receiving the financial assistance to help them reopen. So it's been a great journey to visit and see the innovation. But at the end of the day, the goal is to build 21st century workforce development systems to fight the negative economic impacts caused by COVID-19.
Well, and Walter, I just have to applaud what you're doing. I mean, it's a job and a half to just do PG County, you know, a county that size. The fact that you're willing to go on the road, test your business model in very different areas, really is kudos to you. I mean, and really such a benefit to the people you're speaking with in Iowa and Nevada and Illinois, really amazing. So I want to go back to one of the things that you talked about, your manufacturers, which, if people weren't listening carefully, are your education providers, and your customers, your businesses, don't speak the same language. How have you, and everybody has been complaining about that and looking at different things for decades, how are you acting as the translator between those two very important constituents for your success in the county?
Well, we are that liaison. That's what the local workforce system is. Local workforce board directors and workforce development providers, they are the liaison between the entities that they serve, which are the job seekers, the businesses, and their local community. They have to translate the languages between those. And so it makes sense, Jane. When Ford is manufacturing a car, the manufacturer talks about exhaust and safety protocols and horsepower and the biomechanisms that in combustion to move the gas and air to make the car go. But when that crossover SUV hits the dealership, the family wants to know, how many of my kids can I fit in this vehicle? How many miles do I get per gallon? They're not looking at combustion and all that. And that's the same thing here. And that's why a lot of times when I talk with business, I don't talk about grants and the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act and policy and compliance and all these acronyms. I talk to them and say, hey, I keep it simple. What are your needs? What are your struggles to meet those needs? And what are the things that you just absolutely need right now? And then what is your long-term plan? From that point, we create a business assessment that allows us to identify, you know, how we, our system, maybe not Employer Prince George's, but one of the 80 members can help that business. At the same time, we're meeting our job seekers where they are. You know, through the pandemic, Jane, unfortunately, we had people call us about a job. And in that conversation, they broke down and started crying because they showed up to work one day and they were no longer employed after 15, 20, 7 years of work. And it was at no fault of their own. And immediately they don't know how to pay their mortgage. Their child has a birthday next month. And so they broke down crying. I can't talk to them about, are you career ready? And let's look at your resume. I got to meet them where they are. So one of the things that we did is we put a life coach inside of our American Job Center to help people process this life-changing experience and to actually allow them to compartmentalize the areas that were leading to this emotional stress, start working on those issues, connecting some to mental health providers so that they were actually ready to talk about their resume and to talk about where they can look for a job on Indeed or State Labor Exchange. And what we've done through those two sides, right? And those two different languages is we translated them and then put them in a room together, a virtual room, a physical room, or kind of a room in general from the sense of just connecting people. And we've translated their individual languages so that they have a common language that meets the greater good. And really that's what we've been doing from day one. And that means that our workforce system, Jane, as you know, I really believe that COVID made our workforce system go from Blockbuster to Redbox to Amazon Prime and Disney Plus all within 15 months, but it was needed, Jane. You and I know innovation was needed. The world had changed around the workforce system and the workforce system hadn't changed. And COVID made it happen. And that's why I just believe in the resilience of America, because as I'm going across the country and seeing these local workforce boards, I'm seeing change and I'm seeing impact that is helping our businesses reopen and helping our job seekers get back to work.
Walter, you're amazing. You've made so many, you always make me a believer, but I think you've made so many other viewers a believer. Thank you for spending this time. Make sure it's not the last. Let's do this again. And thanks. We'll have information up that says where you can get in touch with Walter if you want to speak with him directly. Walter, I can't thank you enough. It was fabulous.
Thank you, Ideagen. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to connecting with everyone as we work to make America the nation that we know it can be. And we beat back COVID-19. We can do it.
Amen.
Thank you.